I know you can't hear. Ooh, yeah. Welcome one more time to Charlie's Bunker.
Charlie's Bunker.
Go ahead. Ooh, I love this. I love this. Ooh, I love this.
The song or, yes. Or my jingle?
Both. It's Friday. It's Friday and it's Charlie's Bunker time.
But my hand's empty. There's no alcohol.
No, listen. Okay. Listen, okay? I could tell you the little story of what happened during on Monday because
I'm a born again sober person.
Listen, it was hilarious. Oh, we got somebody already. Hey, it's already 4 o'clock, so people either are getting out of work, already out of work, and they're having a little chela or a little what's the word I'm looking for? Beer.
And for the fancy people, a little wine.
A little what?
Wine.
A little wine. Got it. That I didn't understand. Okay. A little bit more. A little bit more. I like this blues. I love blues. Okay. Raúl Betacur. What's up, Raúl? ¿Qué onda? ¿Cómo estás? Okay. See, now we're going into the Spanish mode again because that's my friend Raúl right there.
Hi, Raúl.
Known for many, many years. We were actually able to have a discussion about the 10th Satanist commandments.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, and then, you know, he got scared because he thought I was, you know, a religious person. But I am not. I'm agnostic. And then he laughed. And then somebody else said, oh, you know what? You guys need Jesus. And then we just like, no, man, because
you need
not
to be
here.
Saved.
Not here. All right. So, hey, what's up, man? How's it going? Everything good? Say hi to the family. Stay for the show. Okay. Should I cut off the music?
Well, I think I'm going to stay for a little bit. You kind of cut off my jingle, but it's cool.
It's okay. Listen, she was already, she got here late. And she was being a diva, like straight up being a diva.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm not a diva.
Yeah.
You're the diva.
Oh, no. You know, I want to apologize to my...
Do you want to remember prior shows?
I want to apologize formally to my previous boss because I was actually in her spot and I was the diva back in the show. But now that I'm in his spot, now I know what he felt. Mm-hmm. So I want to...
I got trained by somebody.
I did not train you. That's not even true. Mm-hmm. All right. So let's cool down with the music. We're going to go into the Le Facebook. I'm going to pause this. Mm-hmm. And so, what's up? How was the week? How was your week?
Good. Productive. But
about
it's
time.
Friday.
About time.
Says the one.
Hey, listen, I've been busy. Mm-hmm. I've been busy. I was choosing topics.
That's
I was
what
doing
he
a
said.
Bunch of other stuff. I was doing a bunch of other stuff. So,
I
was
you
literally.
Were.
Yes, I was. So. We had it. Well, I gotta tell you about the weekend, right? So we had a great time at Chi-Town, and thank you guys for the new followers that we have during the week. It was great seeing all your posts and all your likes, and she was excited. She was really excited. Every day she's like, "Oh, there's a new like." So I said, "Cool, man."
Welcome. No,
she's doing a pretty good job. Oh, we got another one. Hey, how's it going? Welcome to Charlie's Bunker. I want to see who they are because I know Raúl is one of them. But okay, forget it. We're moving on. So she was really excited about the new likes, and the whole week she was really sending me, text about pictures of likes and comments and all that stuff. So thank you very much for supporting the show. And again, if you guys want to hear topics, you want to hear songs, you want to hear anything you want us to talk about, give us a shout out.
Send us your playlist.
Yep. Go to Charlie's Bunker, the Facebook page, and let us know. But on Sunday, I didn't hear from her at all. Nothing. Okay. Me, being Mexican, you know, really good 100% genes of being Mexican. I went, party, came back home, you know. Mm-hmm. And then I got up early in the morning. I got
went
up at 7.
Church.
I got up at 7, and then I started doing my chores, doing my laundry and everything around the house. So me, being responsible, I went to party, came back, and I started doing my chores. Actually,
oh,
no.
Did you?
No, actually, no. In reality,
that's
what okay. happened was that I got up at 11, and then I did something else. I completely forgot. But Nelly Baby here. Okay, was extremely missing in action.
Yeah.
You want to tell us why?
No.
She got hungover. Completely hungover.
You know what? You don't know anything about bro code. Never again. Never again am I going to tell you anything. No more bro code in your life, ever.
Boy.
This is record that I'm never going to tell Charlie anything ever again.
Listen. I didn't hear from her. I was expected from, you know, to hear from her.
You've been
saying
fired.
How it's my show.
I'm not saying about the show.
Oh, okay.
I'm talking about bro code.
So, you know, I thought she was going to be, you know, all in good. Like, listen, you know, let's bring up ideas for the next week. Nothing. Then on Monday, I see her completely pale. I thought she continued going, but no. She said that she can't hang no more. She can't hang. Apparently, she's going to go sober now.
I'm sober.
No, no more drinking. No more drinking.
I'm going to make my own AA meetings.
Well, anyways, in Chi-Town, we were there. The model, I don't know if you remember her. She did bring a good topic, and this we did say we're going to talk about it today. You want to tell us more about the topic?
Who brought up the topic?
The model.
No, she didn't.
Yes, she did.
Okay. Yes, she did.
Okay. So you want to tell us what the topic's about?
Well, today's topic is romance dead in today's society?
And that's what we're going to talk about for the first segment. So just to give you an FYI, I did no research whatsoever this week.
When do you?
Always. But this week I said no, because I got this. I got this right. I had enough. Raul is my witness, and he can say yes, that I've gone for 7 years to get this down. I mean, I was obligated to go and get this down for 7 years, but I did it. I went for training.
They forced your ass to take relationship counseling.
Yes, they did. Relationship counseling and everything. So I went, got it down. So I needed no research. I got this in my head. I practiced every day. That's what I took notes. That's how I wrote. Yeah. Well, no, I didn't. Not for that particular topic, but some counterpoints. Okay. And I will say that romance is dead. What do you think?
In today's generation, yes.
It doesn't matter. Well, obviously, because... Well, no, even before.
No. I want 80s romance. I want somebody to come to my window front with a boombox and serenade me.
Oh, my God. That's so unrealistic. That is not even... Well, no. Technically, no, because we used to serenade our women.
I'll even take Mexican side and bring some mariachis. I don't care. I'll jant on anything.
You know that you could get in trouble here. If you go to somebody's house, you know, a woman's house, and you take about 20 mofos, right?
Not right now, it's COVID.
They're gonna call you. Yeah, well, that one, it's COVID. Well, no. They're lifting up the bands. So now you can go outside according to the CDC. Now you can be outside without the mask. You can keep your social distance if you were vaccinated. So there you go. That's one of the reasons why you should go get vaccinated.
There you go, okay? Get vaccine.
Two, regarding the vaccine, just quickly. Two. Now, the CDC said that kids over 12 years old can get vaccinated. So, again, if you decide to go and get vaccinated, go to your local clinic and get that vaccine done. Okay? It's really good and awesome, and now we have it, so now we can totally go do that. Going back to the topic, I forgot.
Romance is dead.
Irrealistic, okay? If you take 20 mofos right now and you go to somebody's window, they're going to call the cops on you. One, racism. Two, there's 20 mofos standing on your street. That's stockish.
Where you live.
That's stockish.
I know where you live.
Doesn't matter.
Suburbs.
That's fine.
In 26th Street and 18th Street, we'll throw a party outside in the alley. Tell me I'm lying.
No, you're not lying. I was just going to say something completely different from that because I was going to get myself in trouble again.
Don't lose our followers.
But that's not the case. Okay. So no, listen. I believe that if you go and serenade somebody, that's good. Once a year, it's okay, right? But let's be realistic. Let's keep it real, and I want to pick a fight with you today, okay?
I didn't do it. I haven't seen you.
You gals, okay, women, expect men to do these kinds of things every other week. It's crazy. It's irrealistic.
That cannot happen. I do not
that
need
not
to
happen.
Be serenaded every week. I need my man to take me out on a date, maybe once a week. Give me some attention.
No, you do get the attention. That's the issue. We give you attention. It's the attention that we give you, gals. It's not the one you guys like. So that's the whole different story. See, romance is relative. Romance, it's in the beauty of the eye of the beholder, okay? And what's up? Oh, look at that. He's joining us. Le pâté.
Yeah.
Oh, even friends. Le pâté. That is relative. Romance is relative. And that is why I think it's dead, because women will not see the same type of romanticism as men. And I'm going to stand my ground with this.
No.
So do you actually believe that your idea of romanticism is the same one as your boyfriend?
No, because his romance is he's going to play video games all day. And what personal time? This is our personal time together.
No. But that's not romanticism. I'm talking about you when you started with your boyfriend. You guys, you started going out and you were at the courtship and the woo stage and blah, blah, blah. You know, he will do certain things, right?
Sure.
I mean, didn't he? Not that. Jesus, not that. Not that. I mean, I don't think that he came like, hey, Nelly, you know, Nelly, babe, what's up?
You know, it was summer
camp.
Can I
get your pants? Yeah. One time at band camp?
I leave it there.
Okay. Right. But let's be realistic. Wasn't he romantic at the beginning?
Yes.
So if it's not, then why do you complain now? If he wasn't before, why complain now?
Because a girl likes to be shown that she's loved and that she's cared about.
But if he wasn't in the beginning, so why expect it now?
Well, it wasn't always. Don't get me wrong.
Okay,
he was once in a great blue moon.
Okay, go ahead and continue. Because I,
you know, take me out to the movies. I'm a simple gal. Take me to the movies. You know, hold my hand during the time I'm eating a popcorn or something. I don't care. Show me that you care. Buy me a 24-pack and we steal it and put it into the theater while we're drinking and watching a movie. Hey, I'm cool. I'm easy. Like, you know, I'm part of the homies.
You better not be touching my hands when I'm eating my popcorn because I'm eating my popcorn. So that's just, I'm just going to put that out there. But okay, so he did it. You said he did it. You started your statement with saying that he did not. So you see how this is going? You see how it's relative? You see how you guys make your false memories? And you're like, oh, he never was. He never did it. And now he's like, oh, maybe he did it sometimes. That's what I'm talking about.
Once in a great blue moon.
Because we do. You guys just don't see it. That's my point.
Once in a great blue moon.
It doesn't matter. We still do it.
No.
And that's going back to my first point where I stated that you guys want it every other week. And it's unrealistic. And I'm going to take your pause. I'm going to say hello to Maribel because she's just joining us for the show.
Hey.
And we're about to fight. Okay? So,
no,
not her and I.
No, you're looking to fight because I don't know what I did to you because I just got here.
Listen, going back to the romance thing, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I feel and I think that women do not see when men are being romantic. It's just not the way it goes.
I don't know what kind of women you're hanging around with, but.
I only had one, right? And I'm telling you because I've noticed. Okay, they're asking us, which is the topic? Is romance dead? Is romance dead? I'm saying yes.
You late, Richard. Ricardo.
I'm saying yes. It is dead. He should know. Okay? It's a very romantic man.
Oh, see what it is? See, Minor? Your friend does not know bro code. He threw you under the bus like that.
Mm-mm-mm. I just said he's a romantic man.
No, you didn't. You just said, oh, Minor doesn't know what's romance.
No, I said he does know what romance is.
Okay.
All right.
I'm trying to save yourself.
So you see how you're starting though? Listen.
you said you wanted to fight.
Hey, fight fair. Fight fair. Okay. Fight fair. Okay. So that's what I'm saying. Women do not see when men are being romantic. And they want the movie romanticism. The whole let me go and take him flowers, like, you know, in a hotel room in a bed full of hearts
no.
and flowers.
No,
come
know
on,
what?
Man. That's
take me
that's
to
too
the
much.
Park. We're gonna walk around, hold my hand, and I don't care if you get a damn freaking dandelion from the ground. I'll be happy with that. Thank you for being romantic.
I'm gonna tell you what happened to me. See, I was very romantic back in my time. Okay. I was very romantic. I'm a bohemian by heart. I am very bohemian, okay? So if I wanna courtship a woman, okay, let's just say hypothetically speaking. I'm going to send flowers, I'm going to send songs, mainly songs, I'm very cheap, but, you know, songs, they're free, you know, write a little poem here and there, you know, whatever, you know, the whole nine yards, okay? So then one day, okay, this is actually a true story, I'm going to get myself in trouble, this is a true story. When I was going out with my wife, I was actually on my way to see her at her house, right? And then, you know, I was walking, you know, by some trees, and I noticed a very nice flower. It was a very nice flower. So I said, listen, it would be nice if I take her a flower. Would you agree?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So then I did. I grabbed the flower, snapped it off, and I just continued walking, right? So I'm very happy because, you know, I have my flower in hand and everything. This is after the embarrassment of, you know, getting used to the embarrassment of bringing flowers because I was very embarrassed about that. But, you know, I had the flower. And then I get to her house, and what I do is that I pull her hair back, right? Very romantic. And then I put the flower right on her, you know, on her earlobe. She was, oh, my Lord, she was happy. The next thing you know, the next thing she knew, she felt something crawling on her hair, right? And then I noticed that the flower had a worm.
Ew.
And it was crawling on her hair. Oh my Lord. I had to take it off. This went from being the romantic to the, oh, I gotta protect my woman, right? Because obviously women want men to be together, you know, to protect them. So what I did, out of impulse, I went bam and whacked it right in the ear. I got the worm off though. I did get the inkset off. But it happened. So you see, and then she got mad at me. So I'm trying to be romantic. I'm being protective. And then she gets mad at me. So there's no win. And, you know, Ricardo said, okay, Maribel said, yes, it's so dead. And she put little skulls, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then.
Oh, don't say that. Aren't you a newlywed? No.
Hey, man, don't throw her under the bus. You're talking about bro code. Now you're throwing her under the bus. Come on. Ricardo says, it has never existed. Romance, right? Mm-hmm. And it's only for convenience. And I agree. 100% agree. Now, your rebuttal.
Of course it's for convenience. Who doesn't want to soften the deal before you get the goodies?
So you're agreeing with us?
Well, in a man's point of view, yes.
Yes, okay. Wow, that just de-escalated quickly. I thought I was going to go beyond that.
Because if I was a man, I'd sugarcoat everything and try to get what I want.
Okay. And that's what we do. Okay, I see you got some points there. Bring them up.
No, I went online to see if there's actually videos on YouTube about is romance really dead? And I found this one TED Talks on YouTube, Dating is Dead by Kevin Carr. He's actually, if you want to go check out some online like TED Talks, it's actually a pretty good interview and speech about it. And the guy is actually pretty young and he seems experienced. And he said, of course, it's dead. Right now, we're in a technical world where basically we're running around on our cell phones. And what's out right now? What do people use during dating? They're using Tinder.
After Tinder, it's irrelevant because you only need Tinder.
Tinder, Pornhub, I don't know.
Oh, what?
Fans only.
Friends only fans.
So basically, you're going to do what? Be on the phone. You could be online, Zoom a date.
Which is ridiculous, by the way.
But that's what he says. I don't think he states millennials. But I think it's the younger generation where they're like Zooming their dates.
Okay, Maribel said that she agrees with that too. I don't know what she meant by either it's the convenience or it never existed. Or the fact that I whack my wife on the ear to get the worm out or me being protected. I don't know what you meant, but I'm going to go with that. I agree with that. Just this generation actually wants everything right here, right now, okay? And let's be honest, okay? Mm-hmm. A lot of men now, young men, were never taught how to be romantic.
No.
And then the men who, and I'm pointing at me, the men who knew how to be romantic, we just don't bother to teach it because women don't care. It's just pretty much what it is. You guys want the quick thing too.
No. And then with all this electronical dating and all that stuff, what's easy access with Tinder? What basically, I'm going to swipe left or right. And then if you want to hook up, let me know where we're going to meet up so we could bang, bang. Thank you, ma'am.
What is easy access? Whatever you can get.
Mm-hmm. So basically romance is not really there anymore because it's, what are you going to give me? Are we doing this? Are we not doing this?
And I did my research, too, actually. Today, I started asking women, particularly women, about the topic. I said, do you think romance is dead? Now, it was a very nice environment. They were very friendly. They were very nice. Mm-hmm. They were actually getting along. And then I threw the question. The next thing I know, they were actually, it looked like the Gladiator Arena, and I just walked out.
So you almost got burned at the stake?
Pretty much. But I got a bunch of different responses. One of them was, yes, definitely. And then she gave an example. She said, because on my birthday, I always tell him what I want. And the day before my birthday, he goes, what do you want for your birthday? So then she takes that as not being romantic. So I didn't want to question her. So I said, I'm going to go ahead and agree with that. Okay. Another one said, it depends. It depends on what you ask and what you do. And she did mention, too, that it's not only about the men being romantic. It's also about the women to be romantic. So that's a little, you know, more experienced generation. I don't want to say older, but more experienced. But but I did get the opinion of a lady. She's been married for 35 years.
Woo.
And she was laughing at the conversation. She was looking at us, laughing at the conversation, and then she said, listen, everybody wants that whole flowers, like I said, the whole flower mm-hmm. thing, the whole, you know, mariachi, thing and everything. But what you need is communication.
Yeah.
And
she says, that's what I was gonna say.
She said, I've been married for 35 years and that's the only thing that mattered. And she finds that romantic. So again, it's relative.
Yeah. But communication is key, guys. And one of the things that Kevin Carr said in the TED interview was that we need to communicate more and put our phone down and not message or DM other people besides your, you know, significant other and communicate like what you want to improve.
No, but I want to hear the role of the woman in this whole thing because, yeah, it culturally speaking, I don't care where you're from at this point because I found that that the majority of the women actually find this to be true, is that they expect the man to be the one starting the whole romanticism, right? And I disagree with that. I think that they also need to start it because, one, and I brought this point to the conversation, the new role of a woman, which is very good, they're very strong, independent, and they're fighting for it, and that's good, it doesn't have room for another man to be strong and independent, right? So you can't have your cake and eat it too. That's what I see it. If you want a strong, independent man who's going to take over and be in charge and be protective and be that guidance and be whatever you guys want him to be, then you kind of have to let him. You're going to have to let him because you can't butt heads all the time. Two people cannot have the same amount of control. They cannot. What do you think?
I don't know. I don't like to follow rules or listen to my husband. I'm like, it has to be equal. Sorry. Yes, sir. What do you want? What do you want to eat? Whatever. I'm going to serve you. That's not me.
But see, that's not romanticism. That's more of active services. That comes with a little bit more of another deep or another depth of the relationship. But if you're just talking about romanticism, in my case, it's that, or the way I think, it's that, If you want a man to be romantic, mm-hmm. then you're gonna have to suck it up in those terms. If you don't like the way he's being romantic, that's just the way I'm seeing it.
Yeah, I'll tell you if it's romantic.
See,
or
no,
not.
You can't tell him.
Why?
Because he's being romantic. He's been spontaneous. That's the whole reason of that's the whole thing about being romantic. It's a spontaneity of the moment. It's what's born from the heart. It's the just the way you do things in a way that is just genuine. If you're telling him how to do it, then it's not genuine.
Then do it.
Yeah, again, it's relative. How are you gonna be genuine if somebody's telling you what to do? Then it's not. Like, for example, if I send a song mm-hmm. and they don't like the artist, but I think the song is beautiful and it reminds me of that person, right? And the person shuts me down, and I'm not saying my wife, I'm just saying in general, then what would make me send the song again or be romantic if I'm just gonna get shut down? Why would I, as a man? Belittling a man, it's not right when you're trying to be romantic. Now, here's the thing, okay? This is by experience. Men tend not to be romantic in our generation because we're never taught. I mean, again, just to woo and conquer and, mm-hmm. you know, bam, bam, thank you, ma'am. That's fine. But when you really love somebody, when you really actually want to give yourself to that person and you give your all, when you shut down a man, that's a big no-no. You hurt the pride and you cannot hurt the pride of a man. It's just pretty much how it goes.
But women are very prideful as well.
That is true. That is true. But it's like me saying, it's like, let's say, for example, you do something for me, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you do it out of compassion, out of the heart, out of, mm-hmm. you know, genuinely, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I go, Nelly, baby, that's just wrong. What are you doing? You should do it this way.
Been there.
Well, not with me. I don't know what, I don't know. But that's what I'm saying. So it feels awful. So why would you expect a man to go through that? And then keep being romantic. She's like, I'm winning this battle. When she stays quiet, it's because she doesn't want to argue with me, and that's when I win the battle.
I let him have it.
Oh, my Lord.
I'm being romantic.
No. I hate this. Okay. Of course, I'm not going to leave without my definition, okay? Romance, okay? Check it out. Based on the definition, okay? A quality or a feeling of mystery, excitement, and remoteness. from everyday life. Mm-hmm. Now, that could mean anything, anything. I could be doing the dishes and say,
oh, I'll be happy with that.
Yeah, but see, a lot of women, I don't know about you, they don't find that romantic. They find that as an obligation.
No. Throw out the garbage for me. Mop the floor. Sweep. So I don't have to tell you. And thank you. I will love you forever.
So how will that be romantic? Okay, will that explain a little bit
because
more?
Because that would mean that after working 8 hours, I don't have to do it. And you're thinking about me.
There you go. If Nelly Baby's boyfriend, if you're listening to this, that's your cue, buddy. That's your cue. All right, guys, we're going to cut it off here for this topic. If you guys want us to continue, let us know. We can do this next week or whatever, but I think we had a good one. I give myself this round. Okay, we have three topics, mm-hmm. and they're all fights, and I win this round.
Sure.
Let us know what you think, okay?
Sure.
All right. And let me cut off an encore. We're going to continue with the live, and we'll be back. Hold that thought. And we're back, okay? There's still time. Oh, Rosa Espinosa says, hola, saluditos. Gusto en verlos. Okay. Hola. Hello. You want to translate that?
Huh? Oh, hi, hello. Everybody. Nice seeing you all.
Good job. She's learning.
Yeah.
All right. So, if you guys want to listen to something in particular when it comes to music, I haven't put in the music, so send us your playlist.
Send the songs down below in the live if you're on here with us. But again, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No, because I was going to say something and I got cut off.
Go ahead. No, we'll say it.
No, I know we were arguing earlier about romance is dead, but I say yes, sometimes women do depend on the man to be romantic because sometimes it's hard. Women already have to be romantic. I guess we have the romantic gene, I guess. And we already know what to do to your guys' likes and what you guys dislike, or you should know.
Listen, I don't know about this new generation, but I will tell you this as a husband and as a person from a previous generation. As long as you let us hang out with our friends, have a couple of beers, watch some soccer, and just come home and don't start nagging us about anything, we're good.
But what if I want to hang around and watch soccer and drink beer with you guys?
Hey, that's cool, but sometimes bro time is bro time.
But it's the quality time I'm spending together.
See, that's not romantic. It's just bro time is bro time.
But what if I want to be a bro too?
No, because you're going to take my bros, and my bros are my bros. You know what I'm saying? You don't want to take your bros. That's why you have your girlfriends. Don't have any. It's like me taking away your girlfriends and then, doing makeup. No, I'm not going to do makeup.
No.
I'm not going to do that.
Time.
Yeah, exactly.
But again, guys, it's only not going to be based on, the man's not being romantic or whatever. It takes both of you guys. Me, the female, the male, and whatever you want to be considered yourself. It takes two in the relationship. And if you want that equal opportunity, be romantic together. Show them what they like, what you like, and they don't like. But work as a team. That's what the relationship lasts longer. Communicate.
And that brings us to our next topic. Can you train your husband? Send them to boot camp. Can you do that? Well, you can. Obviously, you can. You can do anything. But should you? That's the question. Should you? And the reason why we saw this because we saw a video on Facebook about these two men who are doing some boot camp army kind of training to treat their women.
We should copy and paste it in the video.
We should. We're going to post it on the page so you can actually see it and follow us with us. Go to Charlie's Bunker, Facebook. Okay? But I don't know how to feel about that because every time I hear you got to train your husband or you got to teach him how to do things right, it just belittles people. I just want to know, how will a woman feel if a man comes to you and goes, hey, honey, listen, can I send you to this boot camp to be a better wife?
Okay.
Please, you will stab him while he sleep.
I'd be like a week without you.
Be like pop, pop, pop. No, that is not how it's gonna go down. First of all, you need to admit you have a problem, and
I don't have a problem.
Exactly. So therefore, it's not gonna happen. So let's realistically speaking, how would you feel if your boyfriend comes and tells you that?
Sure.
You know you will not. That's listen. I don't live with you, and I know you will not.
I'm fine with it. Like I said, if it's a retreat outside of the home.
No, it's a boot camp. They're going to train you to be a good wife.
That's fine. I'm here willing to learn.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess that's it for the show. We're just going to go to the next
segment. I did look because I wanted to check to see if there was actually a husband boot camp, and there doesn't exist.
Of course it doesn't exist.
I know.
It's called marriage counseling.
It's marriage boot or on TV, marriage boot camp. They do have a marriage boot camp.
Do they? Okay, tell me. I didn't know about
that. And mostly celebrities. I'm not sure if it's on VH1
of course,
or something
people
like
with
that.
Money.
But yeah. It's hilarious. Ghetto fantastic, all I have to say. If you want some entertaining and swear words and, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, I think I do want stuff like that. But, okay, so if you could actually send your boyfriend to one of those camps, right? Mm-hmm. What do you want for him to change? Like, what will be the things that you will change? In your perspective, of course.
Attitude.
Attitude, okay. Explain, because that could mean a lot of things.
Just the way, like, sometimes people want to be hard-headed and stubborn and want to always blame the other person for situations that they could have resolved themselves.
But that's everybody. Mm-hmm. That's everybody. I mean, if you tell me, did you wash the dishes? I'm going to say no.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to be like, oh, you know, I was just busy and I couldn't do it, and give you 1,001 excuses of why I didn't do the dishes. Or took out the garbage. I mean, is that one thing you would like to change from him?
He does it anyway.
Okay, so let's go back to the question. What would you change from your boyfriend? Like, what would be one thing that you can say, listen, I'm going to send you here, and there's going to be a list of 5 things that I want you to change before you come back. Like, change this on him. What will it be?
I don't know. Like I said, his attitude, his form of thinking.
I mean, I'm just saying because they've told me that many times. Like, you should change this.
Well, they must.
Like, it was very specific. Like, straight up, they were very specific.
And hard, and they were thought up real quick, huh?
I mean, it's not easy living with me. But I'm going to tell you this. There are things that maybe we could change as men. And you know, if there is a boot camp, there are some things that they could change. One thing I do disagree on. It's saying that they're always right. I don't think you guys are always right.
We're not always right, but at least...
But that's what you want to hear.
Not all the time. Just not really that you're right. Like I said in the last episodes, go check it out on Spotify.
That's a good way to... That was a good... That's why she is here. That's why she does what she does. I like that.
What I said last time, I want to be heard. Like, if I'm having, you know, women and women who are taking hormones, understand.
Dang, why do you have to be so specific? If you're taking hormones.
Because if you're transgender, you're taking hormones.
Oh, got it. Okay.
Jeez, you got to take the scope out of everything.
No, that's something else.
I don't want to be like, they're considered women, so that's why I don't want to label them, hey, no, transgender women.
I just went with somebody. No, never mind. I'm just going to shut up. Go ahead. Continue.
Yes. Like I said, we have our monthlies, and I want to explode and literally say, I don't feel good. I'm tired. My feet hurt. I have cramps. I want ice cream. I want you to baby me.
And so you will change that?
Yeah.
Be more attentive.
Yes.
Okay, that's one thing. Be more attentive. What else?
Not always be right, but like, listen to me. Just listen. Be a good listener.
That, again, okay.
Because I'll be fault. I sometimes don't listen.
Okay. But, I mean, sometimes they do listen. It's just what you're saying, it's not clear. And again, not you. I'm just saying in particular this conversation. Mm. But sometimes the instructions are not clear. So, like Sun Tzu said, who is responsible? The soldier for not following instructions or the general for not giving them properly? Yeah, I went philosophical on you.
Mm-hmm.
So what would you think?
I don't know.
See,
your hands are speaking too much, man.
Okay, fine. You know, I'm going to put them right here. You know, show that bicep. Oh, anyway.
Oh,
but okay. I mean, listen, they were there. But okay, so what do you think? I mean, that's a very valid point. Because let's say, for example, if I'm listening to an instruction from my wife, mm-hmm. right, and she's not being clear, how am I going to follow those instructions? Like, she says, listen, I can totally say, I because this is what I do for a living. I'm a professional listener. I listen to this and I really dissect and interpret what people say. That's pretty much what I do for a job.
Really listen.
Yes.
Or you just mumble her out.
No, I listen. Mm-hmm. Yep. One day she asked me the same question and I verbatim told her what she said, and she couldn't disagree because I did say that, because she did say that, and she thought I was not listening, but I did. So my question is, was that what she really wanted to say? And no, that was not what she really wanted to say. But how do I know that? How do I know that?
Because then she's probably afraid that it might lead to an argument.
No, but see, if you're not being defensive, and if you're not criticizing, then what will it lead to an argument? See, the way I see it, mm-hmm. it's because there's a lot of psychologists that said this. Okay, men are very linear. It's either this or that, and you can go ahead and do the research. I mean, don't take my word for it. Just go ahead and do the research. Go and research about the mentality of men. Okay, there's tons of books out there, but that one thing they do agree on: men are very linear. Okay. Certain things you have to do. You just fix it or not fix it, mm-hmm. or take care of it or don't take care of it. But you guys, gals, right, all over the place. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm just saying that there's so many things going on in your head. That's why you guys are good at what you do. Mm-hmm. Okay, very multitasking.
Yes.
Because you guys are able to manage that mentally, okay? But that can play against you because now you're giving us a bunch of instructions and we cannot go and do all of that. So if the instructions are not clear, how can we change it in the boot camp? But then it's going to go back to square one because now they're going to teach us how to be linear in mm-hmm. the boot camp. So then how do you women, help me help you. What advice would you give me to be more, you know, a listener and understanding and all the things you said if you know, I was your boyfriend?
I don't know. I would have to write down because that was too much to kind of like play in my head.
I like to get her like this.
He likes to confuse me, even though I've had long hours and really tired. And he likes to like get me all confused.
Hey man, I'm just throwing here. I'm just throwing the ideas here. I'm just saying whatever catches. But no, seriously, if you know, I hear that a lot. Oh, I gotta change my husband. He has to be doing this. He has to do that. He has to go here. And it's just sometimes I feel like society thinks that men are just toys or computers that can be programmed to the pleasure of anybody else.
And but it's not only men, it's also women. Men want their perfect wife, perfect, well, blonde, 6 foot, size 2 girlfriend to be the Barbie and to have as display so you could look good.
Okay, so I'm going to tell you another story just as an example, okay? One day my kid and I my family went to Red Robins, right? And then my daughter was telling us about her friend, right? And apparently there was an issue with them too, you know. And, you know, long story short, he was supposed to meet them a certain place. He didn't show up because his mother told him not to and blah, blah, blah. So then she got upset because she was waiting, which is a very, very good point. And then she said, oh, because he's a mama's boy, right? Mm-hmm. Not in those sense. That's what I heard. That's what I understood, right? So I'm listening to this conversation, right? And my son is listening to the conversation. And my wife says, well, you know, he needs to learn how to be a man, right? Mm-hmm. That's one of the things. He needs to learn how to be a man. So then my son goes and says, okay, so how do you become a man?
I was going to say the same thing.
Okay, so how do you become a man, right? So they're looking at me at this point, I guess because I'm the oldest and I'm the man. I don't know. So I told him, I said, all right, so first let's define what a man is. Mm-hmm. So I'm asking the question, what to you, what is a man?
A person with male genitalia.
That's a male. But what's a man?
Someone who is responsible.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Level-headed.
Okay.
Masculine.
Okay.
Loving.
Okay. So, when I asked the same question at the table, I heard the same thing you said, okay, and then depending on who you're talking to, because again, in Christianity, you have the provider, the protector, the mm-hmm. preach, and all that. No, 4 roles of the man. And then if you go to the secular, then you have to be the hunter, the provider, the protector, and then you have to also instruct and teach and be a role model and all that stuff, right? So, and then, you know, I'm telling them this, and you know, we came up to the list of a conclusion in the list of 7 to 8, probably 10 things that a man has to be, right? Mm-hmm. We just pretty much did 7 here, okay? Or probably 5 or so. What do you need to do, or what considers a woman? Just a woman, not a mother, not a worker. Just what is a woman consider? Just the same question as a man. What makes a woman a woman?
Dainty.
Say it again.
Dainty.
I don't know what that is.
Petite. Okay. Quiet.
Okay.
Soft.
Okay. So the response they gave me was a good mother and a good daughter.
But what's a good mother?
Hold on. 2 things, right? Okay. So why is it that a man has to be 7, 8, or 9, 10 things and a woman only 2? Right? So if we don't even have the right idea of what it is to be a man, because, mm-hmm. again, everybody has their different idea of what it is to be a man, how can they change it? Everybody's different.
It's different.
Yeah.
And again, like I said, you can't be a perfect man and you can't be a perfect woman. But so how are you going to train them?
That's not what I'm asking. And that's a good point. How are you going to train them? In the eyes of whom?
Their significant other?
Yeah, but then if you step out of that role, then other people have different expectations of what it is to be a man. So how can a man put up and keep up with everything that goes on?
Same thing goes for a woman.
That is true. But in a woman, it's not as mandated as it is with a man.
You think?
I want to say yes. That's a blunt response, and I'll give you that. But yes.
I think women are almost the same as men, that they want to be held as people see them as a perfect person up in a pedestal. How they have to be displayed.
I will say I will disagree with that, and that is my opinion. Okay, not to rough any feathers, but if that were the case, that women should not be, they shouldn't, if that was the case, then women would not be fighting for their equality to be as a man. Because in their perspective, the majority, they're being suppressed because the patriarchy, right? Men mm-hmm. are above women. So if they're at the same level, then that argument is completely invalid and voided.
No, but how they have the perfect, their mother could be the perfect woman.
That is true.
In their eyes.
That is true. So there it goes to the next point. So if a man behaves like they do with their mother, then they're called mama's boy. You have to detach from your mother, right? Isn't that one of the things we listen a lot of times? Why don't you stop being a mama's boy? Why don't you just get away from your mother's, you know, skirt or whatever? And that's one thing we have to change. So we have to be up a particular way with their mothers, with their sisters, with their wives, with their daughters, with their sons, at work. And pretty much we have to have a lot of masks and facades for us to pretty much go on a daily life. And again, those are not my words. That's actually pretty much from Raising Boys from Dr. Dobson. He said that men and boys are pretty much covered in different faces because they need to learn how to adapt in different environments based on the person's perspective. So how can you train a man when they literally have to be like a chameleon? I'm going to put that out there.
Bam, bam, I just bam. Don't like that train word.
Well, a lot of people didn't do that. They're like, train? What are they, animals? Mm-hmm. And that's true. But that's pretty much the boot camp, right? They're training you.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. You're right, ma'am. Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, don't worry. Are we done with this one, or are you gonna give me this one, or you have something else?
Again, guys, if you notice both topics, it means communicate with your spouse and let them know what you like and what you don't like, and what you guys could improve together.
That's a good one. I like that. Communication and improve together. I like that. Okay, I'm gonna give you this round just because you said that.
You are.
But you know you lost.
Sure. I'll let you believe that.
Okay. All right, guys. We're going to close this second segment for Anchor. We're going to continue with the live. Again, if you want to listen to something, some music or whatever, just send us your list and we'll play it. And we'll be right back. Mm-hmm. Third segment. Okay. Mm-hmm. We have a guest. Hello. Hello. Welcome to Charlie's Bunker. I don't know if that person left and came back and then just, you know, said, I don't know. There's one.
It's
one
minor.
Person. Oh, okay. Cool. Oh, he didn't leave. Awesome.
Because he's our buddy. He minor.
Yeah. And also, I know that in previous shows, I said that he's been kicking my butt in chess. Guess what? The tables have turned.
Step it up, man.
The tables have turned,
Step
man.
It up.
Tables have turned.
Scrub the floor with him.
No, not anymore. Okay. third segment. Now you're gonna introduce this one because this one you were waiting for.
I don't know, because like lately, like you throw me under the bus anyway. I'm never right.
It was supposed to be right. An argument. It's supposed to be an argument. It's supposed to defend the honor of the women today. That was your role today.
I guess.
Oh boy. Anyways, continue with this.
All right. Does the 7 to 10 year itch exist in a relationship or marriage?
What is the 7 to 10 year itch?
That's when things start going sour and down in the relationship, where you start disliking your significant other.
Disliking, just like that.
Or disliking little things here and there from them.
Oh, okay. So that's different.
Mm-hmm.
That's different. I think so. I think that's I didn't know anything about it until last week when they were talking about it in the live at Chi-Town, but I think that's very true. Very hardcore, man. That's very intense. Very intense. What do you think on it?
Yeah. That's why I think you got to keep the spark going. Like what started your relationship in the first place? What little things, intricate things did
romance,
you know, things that you and your partner liked together, doing together?
I don't think there are certain things that you like to do together. I think that it was just things that you knew that were going on, but you ignored them because you were in love.
Yeah, and then now what happens? You now take your significant other for granted.
I don't think it was for granted either. I think it's just life got in the way.
Well, the article I read, because Mr. over here is expert in everything.
Heck yeah.
One of the things that people want to say that, you know, the relationship starts going sour is because you take each other for granted. One or both partners will stop caring. You stop showing gratitude, thoughtful gestures like, hey, you need a spoon? I'll give you a damn spoon for your coffee. I appreciate that. I don't have to get up. You know, you start making them feeling like you don't care anymore.
I the way I see it, it's sometimes, again, I can't speak about a woman's perspective because I'm not a woman, but I can speak on behalf of mine. And when you have 20 other things that you need to fix, the last thing you want to do is worry about the little things. And I will consider that the spoon might be a little thing if you put it in the order of priorities. Your example. Let's say that in your example, you're having breakfast and you're sitting at the table and you want the spoon. And then I'm thinking, I have to fix the car. I have to go pick up this. I have to do that. And then as you're thinking, mm-hmm. you're going on the kitchen and you're doing your other things to get breakfast. And you're mentally going on what you're needing to do. And the next thing you know, you come back and you're like, what the hell is my spoon? Then you notice
and
you
need a spoon. That's why number two comes up.
What's number two?
You don't prioritize couple time.
That is true.
Because why? Because you're thinking how you're going to fix the car, how you're going to go grocery shopping, how you're looking at Facebook and looking at other things on Facebook instead of spending time with your partner.
But now you said earlier that you want him to do certain things for you to be okay, to keep the romance alive.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So if you give him several things, and you want him to do this as well, right? To prioritize the time.
Well, I'm not giving you anything to do. Or she's not. Is she giving you things to do? Or you're putting situations and things you need to
do? No. Let's distract yourself. Let's be realistic, okay? Let's keep it real, okay? We don't live in a fantasy world. It's not like I wake up and the bed is made and the house is clean and you know, my pets are fed. No. There's a certain order of things that need to be done at the house.
Okay, yes.
Right? Okay. So, if that is the case, right? If that is the case, would you rather him just stay there, give you time, right? Or clean, like you said earlier? What would you choose?
But why are we talking about chores right now?
It's a priority of time.
No, but we're doing prioritizing relationship time.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not giving you nothing to do right now.
No, exactly. Okay. But again, you didn't give to him right now. But eventually, you did at one point, and you didn't finish.
No, we're talking about right now.
Okay, so right now, if you want him to spend time with me, right,
mm-hmm.
and he spends time with you, then I'm pretty sure that you're not going to say anything about the things he didn't do while he was with you, right?
No.
You sure?
No.
Okay. I mean, because, again, to my experience.
That could always, you could always come back. Hey, we're going to go, want to go eat something? Want to go get a breakfast? Want to go get breakfast together? Have a cup of coffee? Sure. We could come back and always clean the house another freaking time.
My issue is that you guys see us like we're just a vending machine where we just here at the disposal of everybody else. And that's my issue when it comes to being, you know, a father and a husband and whatever, okay? There is no right time to do something. There is not a right time. Because if you're doing something now and you miss something that you were told to do before, which, by the way, I already have an issue with me telling people me what to do, because you can ask. You don't tell me. You ask me to do something. You don't tell me to do something, all right? That's just me personally. But if you miss something and then you don't do it, it's going to come back and hind you and bite you in the butt.
First of all, who's telling you to do something?
Well, again, obviously, I have a life, right? So obviously, there's a lot of people who demand things from me that at that point, there's only a certain amount of time that I can do, right?
You could always schedule it in.
I can always schedule it in. Obviously,
your duties, you could get it done.
That is
but
true.
But schedule in time for your family or your couple.
Perfect. Okay, so perfect. I got to schedule my family time in a matter of 12 hours. Okay, because I had this conversation before, okay? So I work from 8 hours, right?
Mm-hmm.
From 7 to 5.
So do I.
Okay. And then I have that window of 2 hours to do certain things, mm-hmm. right? So in those 2 hours, I have to schedule in listening to my kids, listening to my wife, doing this, doing that, chores, and all that other things I need to do before I have to do the next thing, right? Mm-hmm. In 2 hours, I can only prioritize certain things. That's just me. I mean, obviously, everybody's different.
Mm-hmm.
But in 2 hours, that's my window of things to do. And then in that 2 hours, in those 2 hours, there's so many things for me to do. So I can always go ahead and you know, schedule it for the weekend, right? Obviously, schedule it for the weekend because that's when I have more time on the weekend, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you see that the things that I didn't do during the week, I have to do now on the weekend?
I'm not there on the weekend.
Again, hypothetically speaking, for everybody who is busy, when you leave everything that you can do during the week, you have to do it on the weekend, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then if you schedule that hour, 2 hours, you know, to do the family thing, which, again, you should and you must, then there's going to be time. There's not going to be time for anything else. And that's my point. Sometimes it's really hard to make a schedule when you're doing so many things at the same time. And, again, you could argue that it's not the case. You could argue it, and that's fine. But I guarantee you that you go through the same thing. And when you guys do, then you guys complain because you guys don't have enough time, because you guys take care of the kids, because you take care of the house, because you take care of the food, because you do this, you do that. And what are you doing? Are you just sitting down and playing PlayStation? Are you sitting down and just scratching your butt? And that's what we hear. And that is exactly why I think the 7-year itch happens, because it gets to a point where we just listen to all of this and then we get tired. And we come to the four horsemen of the relationship. But I'm gonna let you. You're giving me a look, so I'm gonna let you. I'm gonna let you go ahead and do what you tell me what you want to hear. Tell me what you wanted to say. What you want to say. Whoever picked this topic, thank you, because I'm venting today.
I see.
Hey, listen, it was a long time. I needed this.
Don't vent at me though.
Oh my Lord. That's another thing. Taking things personally. You guys, communication, and when you speak to somebody. This is what you get. Go ahead.
All right. The third one is you start living separate lives.
Okay. That's interesting. Tell me about that one.
You literally, like, if you start communication is key, because most of the time, what's going on? You don't check in on people anymore. Say you're at work and you miss those texts where, how's everything going, babe? How's work going? Can I talk to you during lunchtime? No, you don't check. People don't check up on each other anymore. Okay.
I agree.
Know the stresses and joys. You come home and you want to vent, and how was your day? Oh, geez.
Well, you can't, because they take it personal. I just proved it. I'm sorry. Go ahead, continue.
And this is why I drink.
Not anymore. Now you stop. Now you stop.
Because of your ass, I probably will start again.
Like, this punk's making me drink again. And that's how Charlie made her an alcoholic.
Yes.
Continue.
But again, like I said, you start living separate lives. You don't communicate like you used to. And what happens? You're no longer in a relationship. It's more like roommate base.
Communication, though. What breaks communication? In your idea, what breaks communication between, you know, a partner or, I guess in general at this point, what breaks communication?
Silence. People don't talk anymore. Like I said, electronics and other things usually take over and people don't like have just a sit down. Hey, how are you feeling today? Are you sick? You look a little sick. You look tired. I'm like, I don't get that a lot. Like, how are you feeling today?
But that kind of communication takes a lot of energy. And sometimes you don't have that energy. I mean, I'll say for personal experience, sometimes to get involved emotionally with someone in that sense, I need to be at least at my 50% of energy. Because the way I am and the way I think, the first thing I want to do, it's, you know, fix things. That's what I do. I fix things, right? Like every other man. I'm not going to generalize, but that's pretty much how we think, right? And when you can't fix things and you just want to listen, it feels like I'm holding back and it drains me a lot just thinking that I'm not going to be able to fix it.
It's not only women that don't stop talking.
Oh, please. This is a podcast. I'm supposed to give you a rebuttal. Jesus. All right. What is it? Ricardo says, what breaks communication is that women never stop talking. Well, yeah, true. And apparently not me either.
And actually, I'm not really much of a talker, so it takes a minute for me to express myself or even bother to have my point of view actually told across or understood because, you know, people want to have a data analysis on it.
You have to. It's the way you fix things. You have to do
not
all
this. Not everything has to be fixed.
It has to be
fixed. No.
And that's why we're in the position that we are, because people don't want to fix it. They just want to talk about things and their feelings.
Communication.
Communication also requires for you to fix something.
No, not all the time. I guess we're just gonna have venting.
Like
you just did.
No, I fixed things.
No, you don't.
No, in reality, I did. I did fix things. Like all the things that we've talked about, I actually went and fixed them. Sometimes I get things right. Sometimes I don't. But it doesn't mean I'm going to stop trying to fix them tomorrow. Because at the end of the day, people rely on me. So I have to fix it, right?
Mm-hmm.
I imagine this all the time, right? Imagine if I just say, listen, you know what? Today, I'm just completely cut off from everything. From today. Actually, on my birthday, I used to do that. Just clock myself in a room, either order pizza, play my PlayStation, and just the whole day, no one whatsoever. And, you know, for the homies, I love you guys, but one day, just one day. Right? So that felt nice, right? But that was me. And some people took it offensively. But I was, you know, fixing because it does take a lot of emotional and mental energy to deal with a relationship. Can you agree with that?
Mm-hmm.
No, you don't. Jesus. Okay, fine. I am, you know what? I think today, I don't know. I'm going to have to reconsider your contract today.
Okay.
No, that's not true.
Okay.
I know you're the star of the show.
Okay.
Anyways, so Dr. Gutman, Gottman, Dr. Gutman,
mm-hmm.
He wrote a book called The 7 Principles of Marriage, right? I mean, I know because I read it. And one of the things that he talked about is the 4 Horsemen of Marriage. Now, the 4 Horsemen of Marriage are pretty much a data analysis
mm-hmm.
to predict how long a marriage or relationship was going to last. And he could get to a 90% accuracy on determining whether that relationship was going to continue or not. And one of them, the 4 points, the 4 roles or the 4 horsemen are this. One is criticism. Criticism is it's very corrosive when it comes to the relationship. And I will say that, and he said in his book too, and again, you can go and research it, you can go and read it. Don't take my word for it, okay? Before you start getting angry at me, go ahead and go and get the book and read it, okay? Just go ahead and if I'm wrong, you come and tell me, listen, you suck, you're wrong. But one of the things he said is the majority of times, women is the one that does most of the criticism. Can you rebuttal that or no?
I don't think so. I think men also criticize.
He said the majority, not all of them.
Okay, then I agree on
okay. that. Okay. Second one, contempt. And he said that men actually do most of this. That women criticize and men shut up because they don't want to argue.
That I agree.
Okay. Third, defensiveness. This is actually something else that men do a lot after that. Because according to him, the women criticize, they shut up for a long time, and then eventually they get to a point where they're like, listen, she's just going overboard at this point. Like, listen, A, you can't say that, and they start arguing. This is the stage of the relationship when they start seeing most of the arguments mm-hmm. with no results or fixing. Mm-hmm. Okay? So this is the last one before the relationship breaks. At the very end of the relationship, where pretty much 90% of the times they do end up splitting, it's stonewalling.
What's that?
It's when you pretty much don't care about anything that goes on. She can complain. He doesn't respect. She doesn't respond. He cannot respond. She sees that he's not responding. So now to get back at him or vice versa, she stops responding. So at this point, nothing gets fixed. They don't talk. They pretty much just go on their day and those things start happening. You know, they start living separate lives. Mm-hmm. Why? Because now you're looking for that recognition and validation and, you know, all the things that you're looking in a partner, you start looking them out somewhere else because you're getting to the stonewalling, and that's pretty much when the relationship ends. Can we agree on that?
Yeah.
Okay. So how do we stop that? Again, you can just give a point of view. I don't want you to fix it. We're not going to fix it. That's mm-hmm. that's something that we're never going to fix.
Nope. That's life and growing with your partner.
I agree.
Or outgrowing your partner.
Outgrowing. Okay, tell me about that. Outgrowing. What do you mean outgrowing?
Well, sometimes in a relationship, if it's actually... I've known a couple of people that have started a relationship when they were straight out of high school. And now we're in what? In our 30s and entering our late 30s. And you tend to fizzle out that romance because you've outgrown your partner. Maybe your partner has more goals than you do. And your partner's probably just settled in what, you know, living life and just going to work your work and not having specific goals or you know, rules or goals that they want to meet. And they're stable. So maybe I'll grow that, you know.
So if you're the partner that's outgrowing the other partner, what should you do? Like, if you're outgrowing your partner, what do you do? Do you stick around? Do you wait? Do you...
Depends. Because if your partner doesn't want to work or not... You both have to put a piece into wanting to improve the relationship. Not fix it. Well, fix it, but improve the relationship. Because if you're outgrowing the couple, you're trying to better yourself.
Yeah, but
we better ourselves together?
Yeah, but what if that person is not doing it?
Or then doesn't want to do it?
Yeah, so what do you do?
Then there's no other option than leave.
Okay. I mean, that's a very hard question for me because not that I've thought about it, but I've heard a lot of people say that. And that's one of the reasons why I believe there's a lot of cases out there of domestic violence and all that stuff, because sometimes, not that they're outgrowing. I mean, obviously, there's so many factors of why there's domestic violence, but I feel like sometimes they want to stick around because they want to see if it gets better. That's one of the main things, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's say if he's going to change or she's going to change or things are going to get better. Or I'm going to stay around for my children, right? They're mm-hmm. always expecting a different result or another outcome than what it's pretty much going through. But if I have to think about the fact that if I'm outgrowing my partner, okay, I'll stick around.
Is it because you're just used to the routine?
Nope. It's because if I promise, and we're going back to the romanticism, right? If I promise to be there for the good and the bad, to me, that's going to be a bad patch. So I cannot only stay on the highs and not be there on the lows. That's just pretty much how it goes. I think that with time, everybody does change. I think that in time, they do change, but not the way you want them to change, but it's a change. So if it would be very selfish of me if I'm, in quotes, improving, and my partner, it's not there at that moment, it doesn't mean it's not going to get there. obviously there is no abusive behavior. If there's an abusive behavior, you must leave. That's not even a question. If there's an abusive behavior, you gotta go. Period. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But if there's not, then I just think it's just a little bit selfish. Because if, let's say, if you're in the other shoe, let's say if you're not the one growing, but your partner is the one that's spiking out, and then she leaves or he leaves, then that wouldn't be fair. You stuck around when probably he or she was at the bottom. Why mm-hmm. can that person wait for you?
True.
Right?
Because I've been in that situation.
Okay. And what did you do?
I've been there on the lows, but sometimes I don't get that in reverse.
But isn't that part of a relationship? Like, again, the goods and the bads, the highs and the lows, for sickness and health, until death do us part?
Yes, but which means that my significant other also has to go through my highs and lows, and because I've been there for theirs.
True.
But I don't get it.
And, I mean, at that point, if you want to be more particular, then I guess that's the question. The 7-year itch at this point becomes, what do I do? Do I stick around and see what the future holds, or do I want to go look for someone else and do this all over again? Because that's mm-hmm. another thing. You're going to start from scratch.
Yeah, I don't think so, especially now with the younger generation. I don't think I would ever want to consider starting another relationship, because I know that the 20-somethings and the 30-somethings people now, they're not going to want a they're not going to want a relationship. And I'm not here just to, you know, share my bed with everybody and their mama.
But sorry. Then again, you become a cougar.
That's fine.
Or what was
it? By myself. I'll be a cat lady.
A cat lady. All right, guys. Well, that's all for me to say at this point. I mean, I don't have anything else to add. Anything else you want to add on?
Again, guys, keyword for today is communicate with your partner. If there's, you know, little things that kind of get on your nerves, let them know. You know, it doesn't always have to be the male version, the female version, or whatever. It's the woman's fault, the man's fault. Guess what? You're in a relationship. Communicate.
All right, guys, on my behalf, I wanted to actually, I told her this before we started. We're going to get into this fight a little bit, because I know this is a very controversial topic. And again, in my perspective, if you are in a relationship and you have the 7-year itch and you want to work on anything, work on communication. I know it's hard, and I think we should do a topic on communication.
Did we freeze?
No, I think we did, but that's because I had I have the YouTube. But if you... we should have a topic in communication, because that's a word that's been thrown around constantly, but in reality,
it's really hard.
It's really hard to do. And how do we do it? Like, what do we do to communicate?
Yeah, it's really hard, because now they want to stabilize that for the new guidelines for CPR. They're now emphasizing communicate. Okay, but not everybody communicates.
Yeah, so I think it should be another topic. We could put it on the works, because I know that Nelly Baby wants to stab me every time I bring hard topics like
Actually,
that.
Actually, I want
to
stab you now.
Nah, she wants to. You can totally tell that she wants to stab me now. But hey,
but this
they
is
brought
a
the topics.
Friendly family show, so I'm gonna smile and then stab you underneath the table.
All right, guys. Look, we're communication. It's okay to express yourself, regardless of however the other person feels. If you wanna. And that goes both ways. Sometimes you gotta dish it and you gotta take it. That's pretty much how it works. All right, so this has been Charlie's Bunker,
the man of the hour.
All right, guys, thank you for joining us, and we'll see each other next week. I don't know who's gonna press the button.
I don't know.
I guess I have to press the button.
I guess.
All right, then.
It's your phone.
I know. All right, guys. Later.
Bye, guys. Thanks for listening.
Two, one, and we are live.
Are we? I can't hear.